Loose the bands of wickedness, undo the bundles that oppress. Let them that are broken go free, and break asunder every burden. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Children, I hope you had a blessed birthday feast of Virgin Mary yesterday. And today, it's the birthday of one of our priests, and I have a birthday story for you. But first I'll tell you about today's saint, Saint Peter Claver. He lived in the 17th century and did missionary work in South America, where he did his best to help suffering people called slaves. In the past times, rich people who wanted more and more riches but were not willing to do the work themselves used to buy and sell humans like cattle to do all the hard and tiring work. These poor humans were called slaves. The Catholic Church fiercely condemned this horrible practice because, as you should know from your religion class, a man's soul is created by God and will return to God, and nobody can own, buy, or sell another human being. So Saint Peter Claver dedicated his life to save, catechize, and baptize the poor and oppressed slaves who suffered very much. We should learn from him that for a Christian it is truly necessary to see every human, no matter how he looks, as one of God's creation who has an immortal soul and whom we have to help to get into heaven. If we love only our friends and family and shun outsiders, there is no love and charity in us, and we are truly heartless. To demonstrate, let's listen to the birthday story. It was the birthday of the Infanta. In Spain, that is the title of a princess. She was now 12 years of age, and the king had said she could invite any of her friends whom she liked to come and play with her. At her party, there were lots of amusing things like jugglers, dancers, and animals. But the funniest part of the whole party was the dancing of the little dwarf. This dwarf had crooked legs and a huge misshapen head, and when he danced, the Infanta and the other children went off into a loud shout of delight. This little dwarf did not know that he looked ugly to the children. He was quite happy. When the children laughed, he laughed as freely and as joyously as any one of them, as he really was one of the children. At the end of the dance, the Infanta, that is the princess, took out of her hair a beautiful white rose and threw it to him across the arena with her sweetest smile. The dwarf took the whole matter very seriously and pressed the flower to his rough, coarse lips and put his hand upon his heart. The princess gave orders that the little dwarf was to dance again for her after 1 hour of siesta. When he heard that, he was so proud that he ran out into the garden, kissing the white rose and making clumsy gestures of delight. In the garden, he wished that he had gone back with her. He dreamed how she would put him on her right hand and smiled at him, and he would have never left her side, but would have made her his playmate and taught her all kinds of delightful tricks. So the dwarf walked and wandered all around, looking for some place through which he might gain an entrance to the palace. At last he caught sight of a little private door that was lying open. Standing under the shadow of the doorway at the one end of the room, he saw a little figure watching him. His heart trembled, a cry of joy broke from his lips, and he moved out into the sunlight. And as he did so, the figure moved also, and he saw it plainly. It was a monster, the most ugly monster he had ever seen. It was hunchbacked and crooked-limbered, with huge lolling head. The little dwarf frowned, and the monster frowned also. He laughed, and it laughed with him, and held its hands to its sides, just as he himself was doing. The dwarf went towards it, and it came to meet him, copying each step that he made, and stopping when he stopped himself. He ran forward and reached out his hand, and the hand of the monster touched his, and it was as cold as ice. He tried to press on, but something smooth and hard stopped him. The face of the monster was now close to his own and seemed full of terror. He struck at it, and it returned, blow for blow. He loathed the monster, and it made hideous faces at him. He drew back, and it retreated. Then the dwarf took from his breast the beautiful white rose. He turned round and kissed it. The monster had a rose of his own, petal for petal the same. It kissed it with similar kisses, and pressed it to its heart with horrible gestures. The truth dawned upon the dwarf, and he gave a wild cry of despair, and fell crying to the ground. It was he who was misshapen and hunchbacked, foul to look and ugly. He himself was the monster, and it was at him that all the children had been laughing. And the little princess he had thought loved him, she too had been merely mocking at his ugliness. Why had they not left him in the forest, where there was no mirror to tell him how loathsome he was? Tears poured down his cheeks, and he tore the white rose to pieces. The monster did the same and scattered the petals in the air. He crept away to avoid seeing it, and covered his eyes with his hands. He crawled into the shadow and lay there moaning. At that moment, the princess herself came in with her companions. When they saw the little dwarf lying on the ground and beating the floor with his clenched hands, they went off into shouts of happy laughter and stood all round him and watched him. "His dancing was funny," said the princess, "but his acting is funnier still. Your act is great, but now you must dance for me." "Yes," cried all the children, "you must get up and dance." But the little dwarf made no answer. The princess stamped her foot and called out to her chamberlain. "My funny little dwarf is sulking," she cried. "You must wake him up and tell him to dance for me." The chamberlain slapped the dwarf on the cheek. "You must dance," he said. "You must dance. The Infanta of Spain wishes to be amused." But the little dwarf never moved. The chamberlain looked serious, and he knelt beside the little dwarf and put his hand upon his heart. And after a few moments he shrugged his shoulders, rose up, and having bowed to the princess, he said, "Your Royal Highness, your funny little dwarf will never dance again." "But why will he not dance again?" asked the princess, laughing. "Because his heart is broken," answered the chamberlain. And the princess frowned, and her dainty rose-leaf lips curled in pretty disdain. "For the future, let those who come to play with me have no hearts," she cried, and she ran out into the garden. Dear children, may this be a lesson for you. Which one of these two was the real monster of the story? The affectionate and kind dwarf, or the beautiful but heartless princess? Never laugh, show disrespect or lack of charity to anyone who looks or talks in a different manner than you. If you do that, that is heartless. God has made and created every man who lives and given him immortal soul, whom God wants to see in heaven. The people in the past who bought and sold slaves like animals, they had cold, frozen heart, and St. Peter Claver dedicated his life to liberate them, make them Christians and Catholics. He showed mercy to the oppressed and despised, and our Lord has said us today, "Go and do thou in like manner." If you love God, you show charity to his creations as well, and this way you prove that you are a true child of God and not a heartless monster. God bless you. In the name of the Father,